Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
There were people in that congregation today, alive today, because Rich stood in the breach and protected others from harm's way.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. The church shooting that happened in Texas that so many people are talking about leads us off because there were so many that came out to the funeral and so many that came out to pay their respects to not only the victim in the shooting, but also to talk to the hero. And you just heard the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, there. Kate Delaney, it is a new year. And this was a frightening, sad thing that happened. Richard White, just 67, he was buried on Thursday afternoon at Western Hills Church of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. You heard Abbott. He attended and spoke at the service. He's one of two victims murdered Sunday morning at the West Freeway Church. And it could have been so much worse. And it's sad for this family. It's terrible. But what happened was, luckily, you had some very incredibly adept people who were paying attention to what was going on, and you had quick thinkers that jumped up, a security team, and so they shot and nailed the gunman, 43-year-old Keith Kinnunen, and it was just awful. Tony Wallace was also killed in this attack, so two people, as I mentioned. But awful to think, because I always say this on this show, that look, schools, churches, place of work, stores, malls, whatever, why do these have to be like we are in the middle of a war zone? And once again, it was shattered. And you know what? I know three people who had family members that were in that church, and lucky for them, there was somebody who reacted, or two people that reacted right away. Thank goodness, because we could be talking about something so much worse. The gunman was shot by Jack Wilson, who was a member of the church's volunteer security team. And that's what I've said has to happen. When we saw some of these other church shootings, you have to have somebody who is armed and who can react and who can do something, and that's exactly what happened there. All right, speaking of reacting, this is a huge story. I can't emphasize enough how big this story is. The Pentagon launching an airstrike that killed a major figure in Iran, a military official. General Soleimani, one of Iran's most revered military leaders, dead, is what they're saying. They confirmed the hit. And when the tensions have been escalating between the U.S. and Iran since the president dumped out of the nuclear accord and really pushed sanctions down the throat of Iran, which I thought, by the way, was the right thing to do, Soleimani apparently was planning, especially we already saw, and he was involved in the attack on the embassy in Baghdad. He was planning even worse things to happen to Americans and was planning attacks, not just that strike at the Baghdad embassy, the U.S. embassy, but his story came to an end when we hit him near the Baghdad airport. And it killed a number of Iraqi militia leaders, by the way. And this is a guy whose career was long and wide, the swath that he cut. Again, revered in Iran, certainly not by those who feared him. That bloody and brutal war in Iraq helped really shape and define Soleimani, and that, remember, happened throughout almost the whole 80s, from 80 to 88. and he's part of that Revolutionary Guard. So that's when they got economic power, political power, and he was there in his 20s, and he had those missions behind what they would call enemy lines, but then he certainly became the U.S.'s enemy, and he was planning on a couple of things to strike back at the United States. So clearly, eliminating him was a very, very big deal and a really good thing that that happened, put a shock to Iran. And you can bet that there's probably going to be some sort of retaliation. But this all happened because of the U.S. Embassy compound in Baghdad on New Year's Eve. Nobody was killed in that chaos. Iran took the responsibility for it, and they ended up in the situation where this airstrike was necessary and eliminated Soleimani and some other Iraqi militia commanders who were revered, who had many people who followed them, etc. So I think the pressure to strike back is going to be there. So buckle your seatbelts. We'll see what happens. But this is, I think, a big win for the U.S. in the suffering no fools category. You strike us, and we're going to strike you. And that's exactly what this was about. And taking out a top Iranian general, was great. Definitely. So there you go. A lethal strike. Very choppy waters out there, my friends. Very, very choppy waters. I mean, if you remember, Mark Esper said breaching the Baghdad embassy was not a good idea. And, of course, Esper, who's the defense secretary, called on the international community to work with us, the U.S., to pressure Iran on the behavior and what was going there, and the rest of the international community to come together to condemn what Iran's behavior was. And so the pressure was there, and the strike was easy. I shouldn't say easy, but it was the time, the opening to do that, I guess, is the best way to put that. Because we swing into 2020, we know there's going to be more conversation about impeachment and what's going to happen with the Senate, and we're not there yet, of course. But Republican representatives say that the Dems threaten to vote for impeachment. So if we roll the clock, you know, back a little bit, you had Andy Biggs, Republican from Arizona, who said that he witnessed Democratic lawmakers being threatened to vote in favor of impeachment articles against the president. So there's still people in the last couple of days or two that are reacting, our lawmakers reacting to it. So now what happens? They haven't, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, if you're keeping score, has not handed over the documents to the Senate for a trial. That would be the impeachment articles against the president, which was abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The House voted in favor of the impeachment articles, but again, they have to be handed over to the Senate, and that hasn't happened, so wait for that to happen. Probably next week, I would say, is when we will most likely see that. Coming up next, it's about the numbers. They are everywhere, very significant, and we're talking we can count on the flip side. Hang with us.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and fiber. provide a nutrient so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
So many numbers, I don't know where to begin. Let's talk about this guy. Yeah, you remember the affluenza teen, Ethan Couch? So he leads off, we can count, jailed again in Texas. Yep, they used the affluenza defense at his trial for killing 4 people while driving drunk. He was picked up on Thursday, 22 now, booked into a jail in Fort Worth. He tested positive for a psychotic compound in marijuana. His attorney isn't responding to all the myriad of questions. Everybody's looking for a comment. Remember, he was 16 at the time of the crash, and a psychologist told a juvenile court that he was affected by affluenza or irresponsibility caused by family wealth, which is outrageous. So initially 10 years of probation, and then, of course, there were all these weird things that happened. He was jailed after going to a party where alcohol was served. Then he went to Mexico with his mother to avoid punishment. Then he was released in 2018 after serving a 2-year sentence. Time's up, buddy boy. No affluenza defense for you. This one's kind of creepy for all of you in Mississippi. I know you know what I'm talking about. I don't even have to say it, right? Then another disturbance. 4th inmate killed. Violence is escalating in the Mississippi prisons. So just 5 days after the Department of Corrections locked down prisons statewide. And so an inmate was killed, then they locked them down, then 3 more died, and several have been injured. And it's crazy. The lockdown was prompted by what they called a major disturbance at South Mississippi Correctional Institution. And that didn't, you know, that hasn't stopped the violence, though. So the 25-year-old Walter Gates was killed late New Year's Eve in an incident at Parchman. And then there were others injured there. And then you had more problems that just seemed to spread after that. And it feels unusual to me. Not that that can't happen, but it's like, you know what it is? It's like a war. That's what it is. It's a war, and it was ignited. So the spark has been lit, and God bless the security there, because I used to do television series when I was an anchor reporter on TV, and I remember going to so many prisons, especially in California, the Lompoc penitentiary, the big one, and I interviewed a Mary Alito, and I was never so scared in my life. And walking in that prison, I thought, boy, this is a deterrent. It kind of felt like Rahway Prison in New Jersey. All right, so that's a sad thing. And this is a sad thing, too. 228 police officers died by suicide in 2019. You don't help. I mean, you don't think about that, but that's what they're saying. There's a Massachusetts-based nonprofit. It actually tracks police suicides, and that's the number they had. It's the highest number that they've reported yet. And there's a thing called Blue Help, and they compile the statistics, and they say it's disheartening to see this, and it allows individuals and the agencies to report officer suicides, death on the websites, and it's the fourth year they've collected all this data. And I think that there, of course, there's a terrible problem with what so many police officers have to deal with. I mean, imagine the pressure. I said this having people in my family who have been police officers. The whole idea of protect and serve, and the idea that you save a life, that you rescue someone, that you help someone in danger, has to be fulfilling. But then the idea that your life is, I mean, this is the deal, your life is on the line, let's face it, when you're out there, because you don't know what you're going to encounter. And not that that hasn't always been the case, but now in today's world, I think it's even so much more prevalent that you could go to the window and, you know, it used to be that you weren't just shooting police officers. You didn't want to be that person, because then everybody was after you and you didn't want to go to prison for that. But now it's a whole different world, right? Yeah, so that's tough on those families. No doubt about that. Very, very tough. All right, nothing like a midnight wedding. And there were a lot of people that had midnight weddings. That's how some people usher in the New Year's. Others do kisses and cheers and everything else at midnight. About 3,000 pounds of confetti showered the sea of people who were at Times Square as they waited for the ball to drop. 3,000 pounds of confetti. Somebody has to know that they needed that much, right? Because it has to look that way, especially it's all over TV. And it did. It just looked like it was endless confetti. So good for them for doing it upright in that city. Definitely. How about this? UPS expects you to return more gifts this year. We had a gift return because I got a sound bar for the hubs for Christmas for TV. You can get them at Best Buy and wherever. And he had ordered himself one on Amazon. So that one got sent back. And they say UPS says they expect to process 1.9 million return packages, and that its National Return Day was Thursday, so they don't know exactly what it is, but then they'll have some on Friday, obviously, too, and they think that that record just keeps going up, and part of that is because so many people get things sent to them, and how much are they buying from somebody else sending them the same thing, or they don't want that, and that's what they have to send back to, like, Amazon, I would think. The National Retail Federation said more than half, 55% of shoppers plan to return or exchange any unwanted gift within a month of receiving them. You know, there's some people that I bet you my mother was like this. There's some people that there's no way they would return a gift. I mean, it's silly because if it's not what you wanted or whatever, but if you had to go through that rigmarole and do what you have to do to, I know there's people that wouldn't return gifts. I think my mom was one of them. You know, print out the label, go take it back, whatever. A couple of other things to get to worth mentioning. You know, we talk about technology a lot on this show here and there because it affects all of our lives. Believe it or not, of course it does, right? And Apple had a record 2019 despite no new gadgets. They didn't have a gadget line. So they had lower iPhone sales in 2019, but they still had a great year. Their stock was up 87% for the year. It's about $290 a share, if you were curious about that. Mm-hmm. How about this story? I love this story. There were some homeowners in North Carolina that called 911. They thought there was an intruder in their house, but it really was a rogue Roomba. Officer, we hear movement downstairs. They were alarmed. They paused the movie. They had to find a safe place. They made the call in muffled voices. Oh, so scary. In fact, they pulled out their gun. They were protecting their two-year-old daughter who was sleeping, and it turned out that once they showed up, oh no, it in fact was the Roomba. The Roomba went awry. Can you imagine that? We heard noises downstairs. There was definitely someone rummaging through our stuff. Oh, that would freak me out. And your mind is not going to, oh, I think it's the vacuum. I think somehow the vacuum turned on itself. No, I don't think so. And this is really sad. The U.S. Embassy in Australia is saying to Americans, get out. Tourists, leave. Wildfires, like we see in California. Tourists on the south coast of New South Wales, that's where it's really, really bad, told people avoid the area this weekend. I mean, it's a cluster of wildfires. It's bad. 200 fires burning across Victoria and New South Wales. And that's some of the most populated areas there. They've had a dozen fatalities from the fires. And I guess these fires actually have been kicking up even more. They've been burning since October. And they fear so many animals have died. The koala bears. They've lost a lot of koala bears and other groups of animals too that have been caught in all of this, and I looked at some of the video from it. Is very, very sad, dangerous conditions because it's so dry, and it's you look at a map of Australia, by the way, all over, and you just can see how thick the fires are where they're dotted all over the place. So Godspeed to those people in Australia. Hang with us. Much more to come your way next here on the show.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In a series of tweets, President Trump is issuing a stern warning to Tehran to avoid trying to retaliate for the U.S.-ordered airstrike that killed Iranian General Qassem Soleimani last week. USA's John Clements reports.
I spoke to retired Lieutenant Jason Redman, who spent 20 years as a SEAL, leading combat missions in both Iraq and in Afghanistan. In 2007, Redman was shot twice, once in the elbow and once in the face, on a mission in Iraq. I wondered what he thought of the threats by Iran to retaliate.
You know, what I foresee them doing is trying to ramp up what they've already continued to be doing, which is target American interests, target Americans, target Israeli interests. And they're going to do that through terrorism, assassination, and probably even a lot of cyber war. So trying to go after us through cyber methods.
I'm John Clemens.
This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Thrilled to be here, really among the works of Seamus Heaney. And I think so many of you know who he is because I've talked about him on the air before when I've talked about my dad and poetry and what poetry has meant in my life. And I'm with his nephew, Brian McCormick. And Brian, we're seated in an area where you can see his works around us. And for you, what does that mean? What's that like?
It's obviously a very special experience. Seamus Heaney was synonymous with this area. Much of his work, in fact, over 50% of his work is based around approximately a 6-mile radius of where we're sitting today. So this area meant a great deal to him, and the people within this community meant a great deal to him. Also, his family members are still live here, his brothers and so on. So for me to be involved in a facility such as Home Place is an exceptionally emotional one, to be honest with you, but one that I take great pride in, obviously, to have someone such as Seamus Heaney within this community. And obviously I'm a family member as well. It's one that's extremely important to me and one that I'm delighted to be involved with.
So as you know, him, your relationship to him being your uncle, did you ever get to sit around and hear him recite his poetry? I mean, what was he like to be around?
Well, certainly in family occasions, he didn't recite his own poetry. I don't think that would have... He wouldn't have been that type of person to roll out his own work. He was much more interested in throwing out a few local limericks and so on about some of the characters within the area. But I didn't hear him read in an informal basis his own work. Now, I've obviously been to readings that he did. And to hear Seamus read his own work was a very, very powerful experience, and it's actually one of the main draws that we have within our exhibition, is that people can hear him read those works through our audio wands, and as people go around the exhibition, they have a chance to listen to the works related to each of the sections within that experience, and that's one that we have found people relating to most, to actually hear him read those works in a building dedicated to his life and his works centred within the community that, as I said earlier, meant so much to him, is one that we have found a very emotional experience for people. We have regular laughs and tears. We actually joke here that tears are good for us, because it actually shows that people are really, really connecting with that amazing work. And I think that's the beauty of Seamus Heaney's work, is the fact that it is so accessible for everyone. People sometimes are under the impression that poetry can be quite highbrow and quite elitist, and it's something that we work very hard at here to ensure that that's not the case, that people from all walks of life and all interest levels can find a real deep connection with what we do.
I noticed that if you feel inspired and want to write a line or two, you can do that, and you also have a section for all the people listening to the show, where it's kind of a learning center, where you can, if you, like you say, there's this thing about being elitist, but it shows you, okay, this is what a poem is. This is how a poem can go. It can go this way or that way. And I think that's fascinating. So when the center was, I'll call it the center, when it was being laid out, was that one of the considerations? Let's make it so that people feel like they really understand poetry?
Yes, and that was very, very important for us. But we're also lucky that his work in itself allowed us a platform to do that, because that was one of the considerations that we had, that we always wanted the work to be at the core. Seamus Heaney himself was a man who didn't seek attention and didn't seek the limelight, but he wanted his work to speak for him, and that's something that we wanted to ensure was at the forefront of everything we did. But similarly, it was important for us to allow people an opportunity for that work to be broken down in a very approachable way. And as you rightly said, we have a few walls here, the anatomy of a poem wall, and that shows people the different aspects that poets use to actually develop that work. Another very interesting aspect of the exhibition is we have a replica of his attic study in Dublin, where he did a lot of his writing in his Sandymount home. And upstairs we have the Harvest Bow poem. And that shows people right from the first draft to the final draft, the work the poets undertake to actually get to that final draft. I think any of us, and I'm certainly unfortunately not a writer myself, but we're under the impression that people sit down of a Sunday morning and decide of that morning, I'm going to write a poem. That shows the visitor here that Seamus Heaney took a lot of time and effort to cultivate that poem, to make changes, to make drafts. And it shows that the efforts that those writers go into to ensure that their final work is something that they're proud of to be published. But again, we do that hopefully in a way that people can relate to.
Another thing that you do here too as well is you get to see the Nobel Prize speech, which is fascinating and I think really draws people in. Do you remember when he won the Nobel Prize?
I would have been in my early 20s, I think it was, and as I'm sure you saw in the video, he was in Greece on a holiday with his wife Mary, and at that stage it was pre-mobile phones, and he was very difficult to reach, and I think he was one of the last people to find out that he actually had won. But finally, when the message had got through to him that he had won the Nobel Prize, as he says on the video that you just mentioned, he made a concerted effort to contact family members to share that moment with him. And I was actually very fortunate that when he phoned my home house, I happened to be there, and I was the person that picked up the phone to him. There had been no one else at home. My mother, who was Seamus's sister, my mother happened not to be there, so I was the first person in my house to actually talk to him at that time. And that was obviously a very, very special moment for me, to try and indicate to him the excitement that we were all feeling at home. And it's one that, I have to be honest, it still sticks with me to this day, to say that I was able to share that phone call with him. So yes, I do remember that vividly. And then there was a party, needless to say, in Ireland. There was a party locally here for him, which I was fortunate enough to attend. And we all shared in that moment, and the video shows that in fact the whole of Ireland shared in that moment with him, because he truly was someone that the Irish people really, really connected with, and that was a moment for the whole country, as it were.
Which is how the man was, right?
Yes.
He's accessible, just as it's accessible to walk around here and feel like you know him. That's why you get the tears and the emotion, and
yes,
that's a really good thing. Do you have a favorite poem of his?
I suppose my favorite poem, and it's actually the one that he recites at the end of the Nobel video, would be the Clearances 3, that starts out with the first line, "When all the others were away at Mass, I was all hers, sweet pea potatoes." That would be that's my favourite. And I think the words in there are so evocative, and I'm sure we've all shared moments like that with our parents, and it brings you right back to that moment. And then he talks about it moves on from that to when he shares final moments with his mother on her deathbed, and it's just it paints pictures that I think that anybody would really, really connect with those words. So yeah, that would be my favorite.
That's lovely. In wrapping all of this up, though, as we bring it back to people listening and coming to Ireland, and I keep, as an Irish American, I keep telling people you really owe it to yourself to put it on your bucket list. And this is a great spot. It's beautiful areas, as you said. So much of this poetry was inspired in the 6 mile radius of this spot, so you could walk around and get that feeling, I think, that he had, and I think that would be special.
Yeah.
But when people come here and they leave, what do you hope they take away?
I suppose, first of all, we want them to take away an experience, and I think that's what we provide with people, a true, authentic experience. They have an opportunity to get a window into Irish life, and to do that via Seamus Heaney's poetry, as you said, a Nobel Prize winning poet, but one that everyone can relate to, and it gives people an insight into the importance of community to that man, and the importance of this area. And we're actually developing, we hope to have them ready for next year, a series of literary trails where people can go out into those key spots where Heaney wrote about, such as Toner's Bog in the poem Digging, Church Island, the Forge at the Hill Head, the Fishery at Tomb. So we're working on that at present to extend the reach of Home Place out into that beautiful landscape. But I suppose what we have found is that people find a real connection to this area when they do our exhibition and when they come into Home Place, and it's one that becomes a very personal experience, and it's one that I would encourage people to make the effort to come here, because I know, I understand I'm coming at it from a slightly biased position, but it's one that the reaction that we've had from visitors, and we've had visitors from all over the world, some 22 countries at this stage in the 2.5 years that we've been open, but one that people really, really connect with, and it becomes a very, very powerful and emotional experience, and it's one that I would certainly encourage your listeners to try to make time to come to visit us here in Ballaghy, South Derry.
Perfect place to end this. Brian McCormick, thank you so much.
Shot at
in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Wow, such an important subject and something that we've talked a lot about on this show. I am thrilled to welcome to America tonight, he's in our virtual green room right now, Ray Emperor, and he's written a book called Global Warming and Climate Change, a brief primer, including the Paris Agreement of 2015. Ray, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Kate.
So let's dive right into the book first. And of course, I love the subtitle where you say, including the Paris Agreement of 2015. When that agreement happened, first of all, what did it mean to you as you watched that unfold? And what is the news that you wanted people to take away from your book in reading that?
I think there was a great sense of achievement when that agreement was actually negotiated, because nearly 200 nations were in the mix, and every one of them approved a final result. So it was a tremendous effort, at the first major effort in some time to address climate change.
Yeah, one of the things that you talk about is that there are really workable solutions, because that's what people talk about in And they say, well, what are they? In reducing the use of fossil fuels and replacing them with clean energy solutions through wind and solar generation, which I've seen firsthand in different areas, like Palm Springs, for example, and that doesn't produce any greenhouse gases. It's very, very significant. What else would you say that people don't understand about these workable solutions?
Well, they need to understand that in addition to solar, there's wind. And these newer technologies are actually quite capable of meeting the needs. A lot of people fear that the traditional, coal or oil-fired electricity plant are not going to be able to be replaced by these newer methodologies. And that's just not so, because we're seeing all over the world a tremendous rise in the use of both solar and wind energy.
Yeah, and Raymond, you know this, that what a lot of the counterattack, I guess, to that would be people will say, well, it's not affordable, but that's not true either, is it?
No, it's not. It's quite affordable. What's not affordable is keeping this current system in place, because the more we generate CO2 and other greenhouse gases, the worse our climate situation becomes. It's imperative that the world turn around and stop using so much fossil fuel. If we don't, by the end of this century, we'll be in severe trouble.
Yeah, and you're you have a family and you have grandchildren, and do you think about them?
Definitely, certainly. I hope to leave a better world for our grandchildren than we have here. Yeah. Although it's not bad, but I mean, in terms of climate change, we're at the cusp now, a cutting edge, so we're a tipping point. If we keep going the way we are, slowly, we'll get there. But can we really afford to go slowly? That's the question.
Yeah.
We need to up the way in which we are impacting the climate by increasing the production of these green energy programs.
Under the same kind of theory of the counterattack of someone saying, well, Raymond, I think it's cyclical what we're seeing with floods, et cetera. What would you say to that? Because we certainly have seen a lot of catastrophes lately.
Yes, there is a cyclical nature to climate. But the point is that the cyclical nature is experiencing wider and more frequent swings toward extreme weather, be it hurricanes or wildfires or tornadoes. We're seeing more and more of this in the United States, even. And to just ignore it is not going to help.
We're speaking with Raymond Emperor, and the name of the book is called Global Warming and Climate Change, A Brief Primer, Including the Paris Agreement of 2015. We're talking about the climate crisis, and as Raymond's saying, it's real, and there certainly are ways to reduce greenhouse emissions when we talk about this, gas emissions. So, Raymond, what do you hope that the book will do? Will lead to more discussion, that kind of thing?
Yeah, this is not a scientific book. I'm not a scientist. I'm more of a public health administrator type. But I have an interest in this topic, and I think that most Americans, if they're better informed about it, would also see that there's a need to act. So I'm aiming my book at the millennials and also the Gen Xers, their parents, basically, because these are the people that are going to be in power very soon, and they need to be educated on what the current situation is and what will probably happen if we don't act soon enough.
Yeah, and of course, what that time frame looks like, et cetera. And you mentioned it, that you've spent your life in public health, and you
right.
worked in certainly in a very interesting arena in that itself. Did you see, because I think when you talk about health and you talk about your experience there, in a way, it does kind of dovetail into having this discussion about the future and climate change. Don't you think that you bring something to the table from your background?
Oh, definitely. The American Public Health Association had named this past year as the year of climate and health. And there's such a linkage between climate and the way people experience it. It's more difficult on people who are poor, low income, or sick to digest the climate change than people who are well and younger.
Yeah. What's been the reaction to you and of course you've written other books, but what was the reaction to this book from friends and family and people around you who know you professionally?
Well, I think they were excited because this is something I've never tried before. My other books have been quite different. And I spent, nearly a year doing this, putting this together. And during that time, I had numerous conversations with people, friends and relatives, about the book, and I got a lot of encouragement.
So because it was so different, and as you said, taking a year and putting it together, researching and trying to figure out how you're going to do it, kind of like a jigsaw puzzle, I would imagine. What was that experience like?
Well, it was interesting. I was very stimulated by the challenge of doing this. I had to do a lot of research because I'm not a scientist. And I delved into it, and I studied, I think I have 33 or 34 different sources in this book that I used to document what I'm doing, what I was doing. And so it took me a while to come to grips with the language of climate change and global warming. But it really isn't all that difficult to understand. It's basically just the accumulation of greenhouse gases to a rate that has been unprecedented in all of history.
And so when you delved into that research, and as you said, all the 33, 34 sources, what was the most, I guess, surprising fact that you found out or something that you uncovered that just really was something you weren't expecting to see?
Well, one thing I uncovered was sort of interesting. Back 100 years ago or more, electric cars were one of the major ways that people were experiencing transportation. Back in the early part of the 20th century, electric cars became battery-powered cars, became very popular because they were so affordable and they worked so well. And now we're seeing a renaissance in that technology with battery-powered and plug-in vehicles. So that was very interesting.
Right, to see that here at one time, really electric cars could have been pretty prevalent, but there probably was a movement to squash that, I would imagine.
Well, of course, with gasoline, was, you know, oil was discovered and jet gasoline was much cheaper.
Yeah.
And, of course, when the electric starter became available in 1912, no more cranking was necessary to start your car. The electric car, all you got to do is push a button. Even then, with an old model T, you had to crank it until 1912. And then when that came out, the market quickly shifted to the gasoline-powered cars.
Yeah, which of course was such a huge change. What would you say that people, because this would be in the research you did and in somebody reading Global Warming and Climate Change, a brief primer, including the Paris Agreement of 2015, what would you say that somebody who reads this and they get kind of, for lack of a better way to describe it, fired up and want to do something, what would you tell them to do? Spread the word, spread the book, that kind of thing?
Certainly, in my book, I have a whole chapter dedicated to how other organizations around the world deal with climate change, and I listed a number of them, I think 11 or 12 different organizations.
Sure, so they could reach out to some of those organizations that you listed.
Organizations like the Sierra Club, Greenpeace, the Union of Concerned Scientists, the Climate Reality Project, the Nature Conservancy, League of Conservation Voters, and there are other progressive groups as well.
Yeah.
Some of them more localized.
Did that, after doing this book and feeling good about it, and I want to tell everybody they can pick it up, of course, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, .com, you can get it there, Lit Fire Publishing, that's another place where you can go to get Raymond's book. Will there be a part two?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to take a little break and think about what I'm going to write about next, if anything. And it might be, delving further into it, but at this point I haven't made any decisions.
There you go, but you still have this one, and of course, just published really a few months ago at the tail end of 2017. So again, you can pick it up at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. Raymond Emperor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Case. It's been my pleasure.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.